Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
You know, we're in a series called Got Questions. Several months ago, we began to ask you, submit to us, email us questions you have that you've always wondered about, or maybe things you're just pressing on your life right now, and you begin to send us in emails, and so we're answering your questions. And one of the questions that we received back in January was, how can I share my faith effectively? And I alluded to this a few moments ago, that your story is the hope that someone needs to hear. And I want to say that again this morning. Your story is the hope someone else needs to hear. And you may think, you may be completely convinced that your story isn't dynamic enough, your story isn't unique enough, your story isn't powerful enough. But I want to tell you, the power in your story is not so much how drastic the before and after is on the outside. Actually, it's how powerful the work of God is in your life right now. And here's the thing you've got to understand. Anytime you have an opportunity to share your story, it's because someone has seen the work of God in you. And that is powerful. Now, the truth is, we all share our story. If you've ever been on a first date, somewhere during the lunchtime, that prospective, that boy or that girl probably asked you, so what's your story? Maybe they didn't say that in so many words. Or if you're a person that meets new people for business occasions, you know, one of the first ways you can bridge a gap in a new relationship is say, what's your story? And some of you have been asked, what's your story, so many times. You kind of have your answer on like autopilot. You can just say, you know, bloom. And sometimes we don't say, what's your story? We'll say, like, where are you from? What are you interested in? But it's still trying to get to the basis of what's your story. And here's what I've discovered. Nothing endures people to each other than their story. You know, there's some people in your life that you're really close to because, number one, you went through something together, or B, because you went through something similar. You have camaraderie. You have this joining of the heart because your stories are the same. And I just want to tell you, in the middle of what we're going through today, there's a whole lot of people that need to hear your story. And so tonight, or this morning, I want to talk to you about how important your story is. And some of you, you know, and if you feel this way, don't feel alone. The most recent stat I read that said that something like 89% of Christians will live their whole life and never share their story. Or they'll live their whole life and they'll never tell anyone about their faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I'll talk to the seniors who are watching or in the room today. You know, I'm on Facebook today with a lot of my high school friends. And one of my friends had on Facebook, even I think it was yesterday, that it was 20 years ago yesterday that my group, I'm sorry, I forget how old I am. Sorry, 15 years. 15 years yesterday that my group, my class graduated from high school, and they were giving each other well wishes. We have a senior class book, Facebook page. I'm sure many of you have that on Instagram or somewhere else. But they began to, and I began to ask myself, how many people that are on this Facebook page, they all know I'm a person of faith today, but did they really know my story back then? Was I good at sharing my story? And my answer would have to be no, I wasn't very good. But I've been trying the last 15 years to get a whole lot better. And so when whoever proposed that question, how can I get better at sharing my faith? I hope this will help you today. But more than that, I hope it all helps us all, because all of us in this room, we have people we want to pass our faith on to, whether it's our spouse, our kids, people we work with. We all want our story to perpetuate, to keep on going. And so how can we best share our story? Well, the first way you can best share your story is understand God's story. And God's story is simply called the gospel. How many of you heard that term before, the gospel, right? And if I were to ask you, what does that story mean? Or what does that name mean, the gospel? What does that word mean? Many of you would say, well, gospel means good news, right? You've heard that before. Some people will say the gospel is just simultaneously the same word as the Bible. It's just God's word for us. But here's what I've discovered. Good news isn't good news until it's heard. right? Just think about what if someone made the news today and they said, I have a solution for COVID-19. I have an antibody for it, or I have a vaccine for it. It's ready to go. It's in my refrigerator. I've taken it myself. It works 100%, but I'm not sharing it with anybody. Is that good news? That's bad news. Why? Because it's not being shared. But that same person says, but I've got 10 billion copies of her, 10 billion vaccines with it, and I'm going to give it away to everyone. Now, all of a sudden, that same information that wasn't good news became good news simply because it was shared. As the people of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that us having the good news isn't enough. The gospel doesn't become the gospel. The good news doesn't become the good news until it's shared. That makes sense? So we have to understand, here's my first point today, is we have to understand God's story or the good news for you. See, until you really understand God's good news for you, you can't really share that good news with others. Until you know God's story, you really can't share your story. And I know a lot of today, the cultural talk is on identity. You have people trying to find their identity, or they identify a certain way with this person or that person, or all these different things. And a lot of people are spending their life looking for their identity, and they feel lost without it. And some people just claim some of their kind of identity, looking for some identity because they don't know their own identity. You know, some people find their identity in money. As long as I have money, I feel good. But when their money is gone, they feel worthless. Some people find their identity in their kids. They're doing all the stuff that you used to do with kids. Every musical thing, every sports thing, everything you could do with a kid. But when their kids graduate or get married or move off, they're devastated because their identity just moved out of the house. Some people they identify with their talent. They can sing, they can dance, they can do whatever. But then when their talent isn't appreciated or goes out of style, they feel useless because they identify with their talent. Some people, they identify with their job. How many of you can lose your job? You can do a good job at your job, and you can be downsized or whatever, economy can sink. And when they lose their job, when they get fired, or when they retire, they lose their identity because their identity has been wrapped up in what they did. Some people even find their identity in the good things they do for God. And if you're here this morning, and during this season, chances are you've done some really good things for God. And I'll tell you, it's really easy, even as a pastor, it's easy to try to find my identity in the good things I've done for God. But friends, here's what I want to tell you this morning. Your identity can never be found in the good things that you've done for God. Your identity must always be found in the good thing that God has done for you. See, the thing that God has done for you is so much greater than anything you could ever do for Him. But sometimes we don't share our story because we've forgotten, or we don't see clearly what God has done for us. Listen, if you're searching with a confused identity this morning in any area of your life, it's not going to come by figuring out more things about yourself. It's going to come by fixating on who Jesus is and what He's done for you. See, to understand your story, you have to understand God's story. And God's story, you know, he put it in print form for us. He put it in the Word of God for us so we can look at it and we can read it and we can know what His story is. In Genesis chapter 2, the Word of God tells us how God created heaven and earth, how He created all of us. He created male and female, how He placed them in this perfect place called the Garden of Eden, right? It's a perfect place. Everything was perfect. Everything was wonderful. And how many of you know God created a perfect creation? We talked about this a few weeks ago. And when I read Scripture, I begin to think about how God created Scripture and that God was actually in the habit of coming down with His people. This is found in chapter 3, verse 8. God would actually come down and visit with His creation, His people. He would walk with them in the cool of the day. In other words, He would talk with them just like you and I are talking today, minus the mask. There was nothing between God and His people. He would walk down. He had perfect relationship with them, Right? I've even got a really high-tech drawing to display that. See? God and people together. Can you tell I was an art major? But something happened. You know what happened? Sin happened. Right? The enemy came in, and he deceived Adam, and he deceived Eve, and now all of a sudden there became this huge gap. Show me my next great picture. There became this huge gap between people and God, and they were banished from the garden, and all of a sudden this relationship between God and man, what was now this huge gap, and no matter how many good things you did, you can never fill in the gap. No matter how good you were, there's no way to cross back over into that right relationship with God between you and the Heavenly Father. There's this huge gulf that's called sin. And we've all done it. We've all inherited this issue. And God promised in the garden that, hey, there's going to be a day when the seed of the woman, which we would call Jesus, is going to crush the head of the serpent, the deceiver. In other words, God promises at some point someone's going to come, and he's going to bridge this gap that you can't bridge yourself. That's the good news. And you know the story, years later, Jesus showed up. And Romans chapter 5 said that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And Jesus did what we could never do, right? He bridged that gap between God and us so that we could have, once again, have the opportunity for right relationship with him. And I've got a great drawing of that one too for you. You know, and really, the first time I read this, and I had this so drawn out for me, actually on a napkin. I realized God's story for me, that I was a person at one time in need of a Savior, and the good news that Jesus came down, and he filled in the gap that I couldn't fill with all my good deeds and all the money on earth and all the identity I could find. Nothing would fill that gap but Jesus. And Jesus came, and he died on a cross, and that cross became a bridge so I could go from my sinfulness to God's righteousness in a split second. That's God's story of what he's done for me and what he's done for you. He died in our place, and then he gave us power that we could live a life that's different, a life beyond our own life. And until you understand what Jesus has done for you, until you understand the good news, see, that's the good news, is that Jesus did for me what I can never do for myself. Jesus forgave me of the sins I can never make right myself. Jesus gave me a righteousness that's not of my own, that I can never muster. He did it for me. So it's never about what I can do for him. It's always about what he's done for me. That's why the Apostle Paul said it's by grace alone that we're able to stand and be right before God. So we have to understand, that's point number one this morning, is that you have to understand the gospel story. It is good news. But then secondly, you have to understand your story. See, I want to ask, guys, if you go back to that picture, the picture before that where the gap is still there, all of us were born on this side of the gap. Did you know that? That's where you were born. You were born a sinner in need of a Savior. The book of Romans tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 123. We've all fallen short of God's standard. Isaiah says that we, like sheep, we've all gone astray, and we've all gone our own way. See, there's no such thing as a Christian that hasn't had a Christ encounter that moved them from one side of the gap to another. A Christian without a Christ encounter isn't a Christian. I don't know what you are. You might be an imposter. You might be a well-schooled person. But until you've allowed Jesus to cleanse you of your sin and make things right, you're not entered from death into life. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how much you know. I'll never forget one day we were finishing a service, and a young man from our church walked up to me, and he said, "Pastor, I want you to pray for this guy at work." I think his name was Steve. "I want you to pray for Steve." I said, "Okay, what's going on?" He said, "Well, Steve isn't a believer, and I'm praying that God will save him, that he'll get saved." I said, "Okay, well, let's pray for him." He said, but the guy didn't talk. I wish he would just stopped, but he kept talking. He said, here's the deal, Pastor. He's this close to being great." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I just think he would make a great Christian." "Well, I'm sure." I said, "Well, anybody can make a Christian." He said, "Yeah, but you don't understand. This guy doesn't need any work done. He's already a good person. He talks right. He acts right. He's good to his wife. He's good to his family. He shows up to work on time. He began to tell me all the good things that this guy had done. He said, man, he's so close. He doesn't really need a life change. He needs Jesus. But can I tell you, we all need a life change. Jesus is a life change. All this other stuff we talk about, that's just the outward stuff. It's the inward side. See, in the Bible, Jesus ran into a person, pretty famous person in the Bible, whose name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he began to ask Jesus. He said, Jesus, I know you're a great teacher. No one could do what you've done unless you're from heaven. And Jesus began to tell him in John chapter 3, he says, Nicodemus, no one can be right with God. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And Jesus even brags on Nicodemus. He says, listen, you're a great teacher of the law. You're someone who knows the truth. You're one of the greatest teachers here on earth. But Jesus says, there's something you got to have. You've got to be born again. See, there's no escape plan. There's no amount of what you can do good that will substitute for what God has done for you. So you got to have that part of your story. You have to realize that you are a person in need of God's story. And I know, listen, there may be degrees. How many of you think there's degrees of sin? Now you're afraid to raise your hand. Okay. I believe there's degrees of sin. I don't think that breaking the speed limit is as bad as killing someone. Y'all do? Okay. Well, that's great. But There is degrees of sin, but there's no degrees in our need for a Savior. See, every sin brings separation between us and God. So we all need a Savior. But here's the good news. Hebrews chapter 7 says that therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us. You know, if you go back to the garden, the sin that Adam and Eve committed on the surface doesn't look that bad. I mean, they lied a little bit. They ate something they weren't supposed to eat. But I mean, I don't know about you, but I've eaten something I wasn't supposed to eat this week. Matter of fact, last night I had popcorn and a Reese's candy bar about 10 o'clock. One of our church people gave me a goodie bag. I shouldn't say this, but they gave me a goodie bag last week. Filled of Reese's peanut butter cups. Is that anyone's love language besides mine? I've never had a bag like this. They gave me a bag of like the regular candy bar kind of Reese's you buy at the gas station. Then they gave me a bag of the thin Reese's, which I've never had before. Then they gave me a bag of the mini Reese's. I got home from church last Sunday. You know what I did? I put them in the freezer, because that's the way you eat a Reese's peanut butter cup. If you're not putting them in the freezer, you've never had one. That's not the Bible. That's just me. And I'll tell you, this is Sunday, this is 7 days later, they're all gone but one. And I did not share very much at all. So Adam and Eve, they ate something they weren't supposed to eat. How bad is that? I've done it all week long. See, it's not the degree of their sin. Now, we know they were sinning against truth. They were sinning against love. We could go all down the theological symptoms of that. But the baseline is this. It's not what we do against God. It's the fact that our sin against God brings separations, and we need help. And the good news is that you have a story. You have a story at some point where you met the Savior, and no matter what was between you and God, no matter how innocent you thought it was or how gross someone else says it was, the cross of Jesus Christ covers it all. There's not one thing that can roadblock you from going from lost to found, from sinner to saint, to not knowing God, to be in a right relationship as a son and daughter of God. Nothing can stop the cross. Nothing can stop the work of Jesus in your life, no matter how ugly or disgusting or even how innocent it looked. Jesus can cover it all. And I hope you've grabbed hold of that in your life. 1 John says the reason Jesus came to earth was to destroy the work of the enemy that was destroying you. So that's God's story, and that's our story. If you're a believer today, that's your story, right? Somehow Jesus saved you. He took away that which was between you and God. But here's the answer to the person's question. Was how do I share my story? And here's a third step I want to share with you this morning, is to share the story of what God's done for you with confidence. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, look at these words. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Listen to these next three words. Always be prepared. Let's say that out loud, those three words. On your mark, you say, go. Always be prepared. I want to say it again. Always be prepared. You know what that means? It means that we're supposed to always be prepared to give an answer when someone asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. The reason someone asked this question, I'm guessing, is because they didn't feel prepared. And Peter is saying, listen, and he's saying this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is not an option. This is something he's saying, you got to do it. He says, you got to be prepared when someone asks you the hope. And I know that sometimes preparing doesn't seem exciting. I mean, you don't always get goosebumps when you're preparing. The delivery is awesome, right? Even if you're a cook, you're in the kitchen, you're stirring all the mess together, and you know, that's not really exciting. But when you get to present it on a platter in front of a company of people, and they say, oh, that looks awesome. That's kind of good. But the preparation isn't always good. Sometimes sharing your story is the same way. Thinking through what God's done for you isn't always exciting. But friends, when you're ready to give an answer to that person that asked the hope that's within you, and then you see them pass from death to life, friends, there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing more exciting than that. So let's do what Peter says, and let's be prepared to give an answer. See, God's plan, Charles Stanley says it this way, God's plan to grow his kingdom is so simple. Is one person telling another person about the Savior. In 1993, there was a survey taken that said 89% of Christians believed it was their job, their responsibility to share their faith. 10 years later, they took that same poll, and that went from being 89% of people's answers, yes, it's my job to share my faith, to saying only 64% believe it's their job to share their faith. Can I tell you, it is our job. Peter says to always be prepared to give an answer when someone asks. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, there's a pretty interesting event that takes place. The Bible says Isaiah was swept into the presence of the Lord, and he said, I saw the Lord. He was high and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And he had a vision, whether he was there in person or whether he just saw it. Well, you can talk about that later. But he had a vision of God. He had a vision of Jesus. And in this vision, in this dream, he saw and he heard the Lord saying, listen, there's all these people that need to hear what I'm saying today. And who are we going to send for us? And Isaiah spoke up. And some of you can know exactly what I'm going to say. Isaiah said what? Here am I. Send me. And it dawned on me when I was reading that scripture that seeing God leads us to sharing God. Seeing Jesus leads us to sharing Jesus. And I'm convinced in moments of our lives where we're not really sharing Jesus, it's because we're really not seeing him as we need to see him. We're really not having the experience with him we ought to have with him, because friends, when you experience him, sharing him would be part of the byproduct of seeing him. So I challenge you, part of the way of being an expert in sharing your story is not to try to be an expert on every, you know, there's some people that they say, well, since I don't know everything, I'm not going to share anything. Well, that's just silly. How many have ever recommended someone to go to a restaurant and try it out? I have. You know why I gave that recommendation? Because I tried one thing on the menu and it was awesome. I haven't tried everything on the menu. I just tried one thing and it was wonderful. And because the one thing was wonderful, I told them, hey, go try it out. Some of us feel like, well, since I don't know everything about God, which, by the way, you're not going to get there, I'm not going to tell anything about God. No, you can tell the one thing, the one difference. You can share your story with someone else. And Peter said, prepare for that. You know, if I have an important conversation coming up that has the potential to change somebody's life, I'm going to prepare for that. I'm going to sit down for a minute and think, what am I about to say? If this has the potential to change someone's life, I want to think about what it says, what I'm going to say to that person. And so when Peter says, always be prepared, there's nothing unspiritual. Matter of fact, preparing for that conversation might be one of the most spiritual things you do. And I want to tell you that your testimony, your story, does not need to be 30 minutes long. So we're saying, well, Pastor, you need to be quiet then because you're getting close. I'm about to wrap it up. You know, to me, some of those powerful testimonies in the Word of God, we preached about a couple of weeks ago, the blind man who Jesus said, hey, I'm going to put some mud in your eyes, and you go down the street and you dip in that water, and the Bible says on his way back, he came back seeing. Remember that? If you don't remember, just say yes, and I won't know you didn't watch or attend that Sunday, okay? And they begin to question him. The Pharisees begin to question, hey, who did this to you? Is he the Messiah? And here's to me a great testimony. That man simply said, here's what I know. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen? What about the prodigal son? We love his story, right? The son that went out and he wasted all of his father's money. He ended up living with the pigs. He came back. His father was ecstatic, but his brother wasn't very happy. And here was his father's testimony to try to convince his brother. He said, all I can tell you is this. This son of mine that was dead is now alive. Didn't that say it all? It didn't take 30 minutes. It just took saying, this is who he was. This is where he is. And when I say that your story is the hope that someone needs to hear, what I'm saying is someone needs to know where you were, how you found Jesus, and what life has been like before. That is the story the world needs to hear. They don't need to hear. Now, don't shout me down on this. They don't need to hear your view of the political situation. I love how you shout on that one. Let me just tell you some good news. Whoever wins in November, we still need God in our country. And we still got solutions that ain't no man gonna fix. I just wish we put as much emphasis in sharing the gospel as we do our political opinion. It makes me wonder, I know this is online, it makes me wonder, where's our hope in? Is our hope in the gospel, or is our hope in the political agenda of the nation we live in today? Love how you're shouting. See, this isn't in my notes, and I get in trouble when I don't stick my notes, but the reason some people are ups and downs with their emotions because of the political issue is because it lets you know that's where their hope was. When see, I serve a God who says, the heart of the king is in my hand, and I can turn it wherever I want to. Amen? I can turn it where I want to. And so, yeah, do I think you should vote? Absolutely. Do I think you ought to do a little bit of conviction filtering when you vote? Absolutely. But here's what I want to know. My hope is not in some person, some man, some system. All that stuff is going to burn up and it's going to fail one way or the other. But the person who will not fail, who will not falter, who has saved my life, who will secure my future, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's that I'm going to share the most. So you have a story that is someone's hope. Your story is the hope that someone needs to hear. And I want to challenge you. Here was the question that was asked. Pastor, how can I share my faith more effectively? Here's my answer. Taking 30 minutes to get my answer. I think the most effective way you can share your faith is to get to the point where you can do it in 2 minutes or less. 2 minutes or less. Now, some of you are saying, man, there's no way I could ever tell everything that God has done for me in 2 minutes or less. Well, the Father said, My son who was dead is now alive. I wasn't 2 minutes, and that said a whole lot. You know, God did a whole lot for that family. I once was blind, but now I see. And so this week, I'm going to make a challenge. I'm going to give you some homework. I'm not sure when the last time you had homework from church was, but my homework to you this week is, let's be people who will share our story. And my challenge to you is, let's be people who can share our story in 2 minutes or less. Pastor, why 2 minutes? Because most people's attention span is like 2 minutes or less, right? I was told the other day that on Facebook, you know, you put those videos out there, most people are flipping to the next video within 6 seconds. So maybe we should focus on 6-second testimonies. But we'll start for 2 minutes. And so just to show you an example of how easy it can be, I've asked two or three of our people to share their testimonies with us today. So watch the screen real quick. I'll come back and finish up.
Good morning, church family. I want to take a few minutes and share my testimony with you all. As a child, I grew up in a household with parents who were believers that taught me about Jesus at such a young age. I don't remember a time in my life not knowing who Jesus was. My mother's grandfather was a preacher in Kentucky, and my dad's mother grew up in Germany during the Holocaust and World War II. Both of these people were instrumental in the laying the foundation of Christian beliefs on both sides of my family. In 1995, when I was 14 years old, I gave my life to Jesus at Second Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Arkansas. At this time, I was on fire for God, but unfortunately didn't last long. Throughout high school, I was obsessed with being in the cool crowd. I would do anything to be in this crowd. My best friend was in this crowd, and I associated with these kids, but I was barely in it. This led me down a 12-year path of bad choice after bad choice that led into adulthood, where I was just completely lost. But in 2009, by the grace of God, Jesus put Jessica in my life. At that time, we both decided to start attending church together, and we both rededicated our lives to Jesus. Since that time, God has opened up the floodgates of blessings onto my life. I was able to marry Jessica, who's the love of my life. I started a respectable career within the federal government. I've been given the honor and the responsibility to be the father of three wonderful children. And I was planted into the church family at the Assembly to develop my growing relationship with Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, the last 11 years haven't been without trials, they haven't been without sorrows, but we take heart and we know that Jesus has overcome the world and he's been with us in all of those valleys. So I want to say to the people listening today that don't know Jesus, be still, listen, and open up your heart to him today. He's speaking to you and he's calling you home. So come home with us.
So I was raised in a Christian home. My family was highly involved in ministry, so we were at church every time the doors were open. So I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a very young age, but I didn't fully comprehend what that meant until much later in life. And it may sound really simple, but it was the realization that Jesus loves me for me, and I don't have to be perfect to earn his love. Because what I found is that perfection was leading me to pretend, and I don't have to pretend with God. I can bring him my broken, my mess, my insecurity, and he's going to love me just the same. So that was the big game changer in my life, and when I was able to fully surrender myself and fully live for him is when I had that realization. So since then, I've had a joy in my heart that really can't be changed by circumstance, and all of my faith, my hope, my trust, my foundation is in a never-changing God.
Hi, my name is Joey Goshen. I was raised in church. I had a family that loved God. Every time the doors were open, we were there. I played the drums in church. I went to a private school, and then I turned my back on God. I got involved with drugs and alcohol and any and every bad thing you could possibly think of. I ended up in a place called Arkansas Department of Correction. It was prison. It was scary. It was a bad place to be. And then came Jesus, a radical transformation. I called on him and he came running to me. I never will forget that moment because he lives with me today. I have a personal relationship with God. Once I got saved, I knew that I had to change my life, so I started reading the Word. And I'm not just reading it, but I was applying it to my life. It was almost like sitting down for a big old supper. And then I allowed the Word to change my life, my outlook. The Bible says renewing of your mind. I've received prosperity, happiness, and joy and peace, a wonderful family that serves God. I have peace when I lay down at night. Living for God, making that decision, has been the most wonderful choice I've ever made. Miracles happen and take place in living for God. I want to encourage you to live for Him.
So three testimonies. By the way, they all met the, Travis, you want to come? They all met the timeline, 2 minutes apiece. I'm not trying to be legalistic this morning and tell you, hey, you got to share your testimony. You got to make it 2 minutes or less. I'm trying to tell you this morning that if you can describe your life simply before Christ, if you can describe your life at the moment you met Christ, whether that was in a youth meeting like myself or whether that was in a restaurant like I've led people to the Lord before, wherever it was, you can just share that moment of what happened. And then 30 seconds of what life has been like before. You can be part of sharing your faith, sharing your story, and your story is the hope that someone needs to hear. Today, I hope that as a church, we'll be fluent, effective in sharing our story. Now, there's more than these stories. I think I reached out to about a half a dozen people and asked them to share their story. We got more. And so every day this week on social media, we're going to share a story of the day. 2-minute video every day. Different person is going to share these stories and other stories. But here's your homework. Here's what I would challenge you to do. I would challenge you to go home and really think about, can I share my story? Can I do what Peter asked me to do? Can I really be ready to answer when someone asks the hope that's inside of me? He may think, oh, yeah, I'm sure I could do it in the moment I need to. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say to wing it, right? He said, be prepared. I would challenge you to go home. If you had to write it down, whatever. You know, Corey walked in this morning and we were having tech problems. And he said, hey, if you want me to say it again, I can, because it took me so much practice. I know I can say it again. Well, that's kind of the benefit too, is that you're ready. So here's the homework. I would challenge you today. Go home and spend some moments. Think about what God's done in your life. Think about who you were before Christ, how you met Christ, and what life has been like afterwards. And then when you get that thought out, why don't you get your cell phone or your home computer with your webcam, and why don't you record a 2-minute testimony yourself and share it on social this week? Wouldn't it be awesome if we had 300 plus testimonies of how God has changed our life going out on social media in our community this week? Because let me tell you something, your story is the hope that someone needs to hear. I'll say it again. Your story is the hope that someone needs to hear, because your story includes the gospel. It's the good news. It's what God has done for you. As I said earlier, our life is never going to be about what we've done for God. It's always going to be about what God has done for us. So let's be people that share what God's done for us. I want to ask you, bow your heads real quickly. If you're watching online today, even right there, I want you to just bow your heads. I want to ask you this closing question. What is your story? If I were to ask you, what's your story? Maybe it starts off saying, yeah, I was raised in church. Maybe it starts off, man, I've never been in church. Maybe it starts off by saying, I've heard about Jesus my entire life. Or maybe your story starts by saying, this is the first time I've ever heard the name of Jesus. All of our stories start a different way. But the turning point is, what do we do with Jesus? What do we do with our moment when God speaks to us and says, hey, follow me? If you've never chosen to follow Jesus, let God alter your story this morning. Let Jesus be the climax of your story. For you come to know Him, and you move from living a life that's separated from God to a life that is living with God. In this private moment, if you're in the room today, say, Pastor, I need to do that today. I've never let Jesus change my story. Just lift a hand real quick. That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Secondly today, church, so you've let Jesus change your story. Have you let Jesus be heard through your story? We share our stories all the time. That's how we do life together. We share with each other our stories. This morning, I talked to several of you on your way in, and I began to ask, what was your story? What was your week like? What would you been? You know, that's how we share our story. Let's be people that share our story. And it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. You don't have to know everything to share the one thing Jesus has done for you. It's so simple. What was life like before Christ? What was life like when I met Christ? And what has life been like after Christ? If you'll tell those three elements of your story will offer the hope that other people need. So I'm going to ask you to join me by standing tonight, or this morning, and this is going to be our closing prayer. Would you just ask the Lord right now, Lord, clarify internally for me my story. Let me see what you've done for me, and let me see what I can do for you as you give me the boldness and the confidence as I make the needed preparation to share my story. So, Father, I just pray you'll bless the people today. Lord, I pray you'll bless them. I pray you will keep them. I pray your face will shine upon them. And God, I pray this week you will help us to share our story, to share our story with confidence. And we'll do the homework this week, that we'll do what Peter said. We'll always be prepared to answer when someone asks the hope that's inside of us. So help us to be ready. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.